Welcome to the Mommy Matters podcast, where Mommy Matters is a double entendre that states and declares that mommies matter, where we have conversations surrounding mommy matters from conception to pregnancy to postpartum, mother and father wounds, dating, mindfulness and self-care, spirituality, parenting, discipline, legislation, money, and so much more. It is my hope and my prayer that the information that you gather here serves as a blueprint for generational and individual ascension. Enjoy. All right. Welcome to the Mommy Matters podcast. I am your host, Cecile Edwards. And as usual, I'm bringing great conversation with great individuals to talk about issues that we need to talk about as women, as mothers, that men need to hear as well. And I am happy to have Kiara Goodman, who is the owner of Curves and Cupcakes. And I have this tendency to like kind of mini stalk people when I find their their content, and I saw her content and I was like, oh yes, I love this for like 10,000 reasons. We'll get into it. So I'm going to have Kiara introduce herself and tell us about her business and herself and what she does and et cetera, et cetera. So without further ado, Kiara.
All right. So again, thanks for the introduction. Again, my name's Kiara Goodman, owner of Curves and Cupcakes, and I'm essentially an anti-diet coach for foodies, which are people who love to eat, but also are into health and wellness. I'm an ex-yo-yo dieter and former food addict who, again, had a crazy love obsession with food. And I basically transformed my life over the past year or so by learning to heal my relationship with food and my body, by kind of escaping, you know, the society norms from dieting and diet culture and the diet mentality, which can be toxic to so many people with so many rules and restrictions placed on something as simple as eating for a healthier way of living. And now I essentially specialize in teaching other women how to liberate themselves from the diet mentality and re-educate them on how their body was naturally designed to make healthier choices without all the excess rules and restrictions, and just getting in tune with their body's natural cues to know how to make the best choices for their health overall.
I love that. So, and I resonate with this deeply because, so let's just get into the meat and bones. Okay. Because just like you noted, our bodies have the natural ability to be in tune with what we need. Mm-hmm. However, at some point our bodies get out of tune with that, right? Yes. And how and why? What do you say about that? What do you think about that?
I really think it's all a mind thing. And again, focusing too much on society and wanting to fit in and wanting to do what others are telling us is acceptable. We feel like we just can't trust ourselves to make the best decisions for ourselves, because somewhere along the way, you know, we've grown to love food. We turn to food for comfort. We turn to food for everything. And in a way, it's kind of become unhealthy, so to speak. So we think that if we enjoy it or if it tastes good, it can't be good for us. So we look for help from outside sources, like, you know, diets and things with rules and guidelines to help us get on track. But when we're following, you know, another person's set of rules for ourselves, it often ends up in failure and a lot of stress and just a lot of toxic behaviors, because we're not doing what our body is naturally designed to do.
Totally resonate with that. You know, our connection to emotions and food and our bodies, you know, learning to dislike our bodies from a very young age, mm-hmm. right? Watching television and seeing, you know, who are considered attractive and wanting us to look like that, but not just seeing who is considered attractive, but who is considered unattractive, right? Those right. messages are very palpable in mm-hmm. the media. They're very palpable in, you know, schools and in just everything that you see. And not to mention if you grow up in a family that may have, you know, had things to say, you know, you go to family functions, they're like, oh, you know, you gained whatever amount of pounds, oh, you're looking right. fluffy, or oh, whatever the case may be. Yeah. And so now you like have this love-hate relationship, like, oh, I like the food, but now I'm stuffing my emotions with the food, and now right. it becomes this crazy relationship. And now you don't even know what your body thrives best off of, because you know, you've been just taking in. And then you get mixed messages, I feel like, sometimes, too. It's like you go to your grandmother's house, and she's like, eat, eat.
It's like, do I eat or not? Like, is it right. good or not? It's just, we've given so much moral value to food. It's like, right. we're placing all the blame, all our insecurities, all our problems on food, and food can't speak for itself and defend itself. Like, hey, it's not me. It's, you know, it's these messages from other people telling you that I'm the problem, when really it's your mindset that's the problem.
Right, right. Everything begins and ends in the mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but that, and that mind-body connection gets thrown off from all these outside outside influences. So mm-hmm. the question is, how do you reconnect yourself with your body so that you can do what is optimal for yourself?
Well, first, I would say figure out what it is you want. You say you're so focused on what other people are saying you need to lose weight, you need to make healthier choices, you can't enjoy your food if you want to, you know, live longer or have more energy or whatever. Why do you even care what these people are saying? What is it you're trying to accomplish? Are you trying to lose weight? Are you trying to get more energy? Are you trying to stop emotional eating? Are you trying to just feel normal again and not like a robot and like you have to do things a certain way to be quote unquote right versus wrong or good or bad? So figure out what your goals are. If it's improving your health, if it's losing some weight, if it's just, you know, dealing with emotional stress, and then whatever it is, make sure you're doing it for you and not the validation of others, not to please others, not to do anything other than improve the overall quality of your life. And once you figured out what it is you're trying to do and have determined that it is in fact all for you, then you start figuring out how to separate the outside factors from you, because nobody can tell you how to live your life. Nobody can tell you what's best for you, and your health are all different. The only people I think can have any kind of input on that is like a primary care physician or a medical professional, but even still, they're giving you guidelines to follow. They don't know you and your unique body and your needs. That's why you have to learn to get back in tune with that by asking yourself, what do you need? What is your body telling you? Taking a step back and really digesting it all and seeing where to start first, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. That's been my personal journey and my personal walk. And it took some time to walk through different types of, and when I say diet, I just mean the way that you eat, right? I'm not talking about, you know,
a fad,
right. Walking through different diets in order to understand my body, how it works, what makes me feel best when I eat it. Cause that's always my role and my goal, is to make me feel good mentally, emotionally, mm-hmm. spiritually. When I eat something, if I eat something and it makes me feel tired or whatever the case, or jittery or whatever, we're not eating that, right? So or we're going to limit, right? We're going to limit that significantly, because that's important to me, feeling well. I can't be a mm-hmm. coach in these things and not feel well. My vibration has to be high. So all of those things are important. And so, and sometimes it will take you some time, but mm-hmm. in the diet culture, and now I'm back to the diet, like fad diet, they will tell you, you know, you lose 20,000 pounds in 2 months. You'd be like, wait.
Really? And it's just so crazy. It's like, even if it was possible safely, a lot of people are so focused on the weight loss, like the weight is the problem. It's deeper than that. It's the psychological or emotional things you're experiencing. Do you really want to lose weight, or do you want to heal the way you view yourself? Do you want to have value in yourself? Do you want to be more confident? Do you want to accept and love yourself? Do you want to feel less triggered by a message telling you to lose 20 pounds and feeling like, oh man, I got to start a new diet on Monday versus, oh, I'm perfectly fine. I make healthy choices every day. I have a balanced, you know, diet the way that I eat, and I'm perfectly fine with myself. I may want to get more active. I may want to eat things that are higher in nutrient value, nutritious value, but I don't necessarily need to focus on weight loss, so their ads are not going to suck me back in into that toxic lifestyle.
Yes, yes. And from my, again, I don't want you to talk about your experience, but as you're talking, I can recall in my experience and in my continued experience of continuing to heal my blood sugar. That's one of my things. Heal my insulin, you know, levels and have it at a stasis point where when I eat something, it doesn't make me feel like I'm about to fall out. But, you know, just being aware of those non-scale victories, right? So if you really understand your body, you know that, you know, and understanding your body, as you said, is a part of it, in your mind, you'll know that anything can make you, especially women, anything can make our weight go up and down in a day, you know?
Yeah. As long as you're alive and breathing, it's going to fluctuate.
Right. Anything can make it go up and down. And so one of my non-scale victories was, one, not getting on the scale all the time, right? And feeling actually, because that's something that some people get on the scale every day,
multiple,
you know? And it's not a healthy thing to get on the scale every day. You're not an MMA fighter or a boxer or something like that that's trying to, you know, keep yourself in a certain weight class. Then it's kind of like, so those non-scale victories, such as choosing not to go and get certain things that you know are not healthy for you, or not emotionally reacting to someone looking at you in a certain way and you thinking, oh, they're looking at me because they think blah, blah, blah. You know, there's so many mental and emotional victories that you can focus on, okay, in your journey that will pay off greater, right? Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about your own journey with that and how you, what your process has been like specifically?
I would say for a long time, my focus was the fad diets, because the fad diets promised weight loss. And I thought the weight loss was the thing I was so desperately searching for and would be the answer to all my problems, because I wasn't even sure of my problem. I just had, you know, the messages from the diet industry throwing it out there, and weight was always behind the magical cure to an overall happy, healthy life. So I figured that's what it was. But
I'm imagining the people running in the fields all happy because they just lost, you know, 25 pounds anyway, these commercials.
Right. Amazing. Just so much happier, so much better, more money, more love, more happiness, more peace. And, you know, I think I can speak for a lot of people. Once you lose the weight, then what? A lot of us have this arbitrary number that we think once we get there, it's going to be wonderland. Then we get there and some of us even surpass it, far off surpass it, and we're still not happy because we still haven't gotten to the root of whatever our own issues are, whether it be, you know, low self-confidence, whether it be low energy, whether it be, it might even be losing some weight, because for some people, losing weight will take pressure off of joints and, you know, their diaphragm and all of that, causing discomfort in their lives. The ultimate goal is comfort and being happy and being healthy and being active, but in a way that's sustainable, in a way that works for you. And the only way it's going to be sustainable and work for you is if you figure out what works for you without relying on someone else. So even after losing 200 pounds, I still wasn't happy. I was miserable because I was still in the diet mentality of restriction and listening to all the opinions of others and not getting in tune with myself. But then along came food freedom, and the focus was not weight. They made it clear when I was doing my research, food freedom is not about weight. It's about making healthier choices, listening to yourself, learning yourself, getting back in tune with yourself. And after doing that, I learned the dieting industry is basically a scam. It's basically trying to take control of our lives when food freedom is about taking back control from them so that you can live your best life on your terms.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty much what my experience has been. And it's so liberating, so freeing to know that I have control of my life. I make the choices. Whether I have good days or bad, highs and lows, it's still my choice at the end of the day.
Yeah, that sounds like a mental and spiritual release in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, like it feels like woosah. You know?
How much time per day we spend just thinking about food.
Ugh.
People will be shocked how much what am I eating for breakfast? What am I eating for lunch? Oh my God, I missed breakfast. I messed up. Oh no, what do I do? It's late. I can't eat. I'm hungry though, but it's past 7 o'clock. Like, your body is telling you what it needs, but you care so much about what someone else is telling you that you're ignoring it. Your body is very smart. It knows what it needs. What are you doing?
And imagine doing that. What my mind thinks of, and this is what I talk about a lot with individuals, clients, et cetera, is that, you know, what mm-hmm. happens in one area of life happens in others. So imagine mm-hmm. you're living in this restricted way with food. You're talking to yourself negatively about food. And what other ways are you doing that? You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like if you want to reclaim your full self and your full freedom, you have to deal with all parts. You may think mm-hmm. that the food part is not that serious, but it's just as serious as any other part, you know? So one of the things that we talked about earlier or before when we had our conversation mm-hmm. were two areas that were of intrigue to me when it comes to food freedom and what it may say about these areas. One is about teaching your children how to eat, right? Because, you mm-hmm. know, we know that our children are very susceptible. Like my daughter is a preteen and baby. I'll be like, ooh, child, right? Y'all can eat. Mm-hmm. And also postpartum mothers, right? So there's this rush to snap back. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you just pushed the whole human being out. Yahoo-ha. Mm-hmm. Like, snapping back is the least bit of the worries. Just listen mm-hmm. to yourself and what it is that you need, because you probably need more of certain things that other people would consider to be quote-unquote bad. Right? So what is the take on those two areas? We can start with either one.
Okay, so with the kids, I would say, again, it's society's downfall. Kids are natural, healthy eaters. It's like babies when they come out the womb. They cry when they're hungry. They go to sleep when they're satisfied. They stop eating. They know when they're hungry and they eat just enough, and then they're done. Even as toddlers, they run to the house. They're playing around. Then when it's time for snack time or lunch time, they come, sit down, they eat. Most of the time, they don't even finish cleaning their plate, but they ate just enough, and then they go back to playing, and that's it. They don't stress about when they're going to eat the next time or just a whole bunch of anything. They just listen to their body. You're going to know when a kid is hungry versus when they're satisfied. And they didn't need any diet rules to tell them that. And that's what food freedom is, bringing back that natural instinct that we were all born with, but somewhere along the way, things have been misconstrued again from the diet culture and mentality, tricking us into believing that we don't know ourselves. So I would say, with the going to the clean your plate syndrome, because that's big in, you know, the ethnic communities.
Yes.
Of feeling like you cannot get up unless you finish eating, which is kind of toxic in my opinion, because if we're done, why are we forcing ourselves to continue eating? That's creating unhealthy habits, causing ourselves to be more than satisfied when really food is all just fuel. It doesn't matter if it's a cupcake, pizza, kale, salad. Some is higher nutritious value than others, but it's all serves one primary focus, to fuel your body. So why are we telling our kids that they were basically tricking them again, feeding them that they don't know themselves when we came out the womb knowing ourselves? So I would say, you know, listen to your kids. If they're saying they want something and you're like, no, why? Let kids be kids. Maybe just start the process, because we don't want kids eating candy and sugar all day, every day. Of course, there's no nutrient value, but if they do want some candy, okay. But then teaching them how to crave more nutritious things, helping them identify when food gives them more energy so that they can run in the backyard and play all day like a kid should, versus wanting to stay in the house and play video games all day and not be active at all. But also teaching them about that balance, which you want in your life as well. Kids, I'm just so, trying to think of the word, just so set on the fact that they know what they need, just like we know what we need. As a child, they're not wrapped up into what fad diets and those rules and restrictions are. So they automatically do balance. So we kind of have to respect them and their choices, maybe guide them to things that are more nutritious. Like if they don't like broccoli, helping them find other, you know, nutritious vegetables that they actually think taste good. It's all about experimentation and letting a kid be a kid. Mm-hmm. So that's my take on that.
Definitely agree with that. It makes me think about when you were talking about cleaning the plate. I know I have a story about having to sit at the dinner table. I know many people have the story of having to sit at the dinner table until you finish everything on your plate. And for me, it was okra. To this day, I don't like okra because of that. Okay, I'm like, don't even put no okra near me. You hear me? And I do think that it's sometimes it can be a socioeconomic thing, right? So it's like, you know, if you come from a background or you always hear this phrase, you know, people in blah, blah, blah are starving and they wish they had this. And it's like, all right, come on now. Right. You know, that's a bit of a stretch. It's just simply that I don't like this particular thing or right. I'm full. You know, I can save it for later if I get hungry, whatever the case may be, or I can eat it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, there's other options. So I like that you said that, you know, giving options is a huge thing. Taking your children grocery shopping with you. Like we had a conversation with someone else. Take your children grocery shopping so they have a choice in, you know, what is brought into the house so they're prepared. Maybe they want to try something. You know, when they have that level of agency, they may be more prone or open to trying things. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I love that. So the next question was about the postpartum moms and women in general, but postpartum mothers and that whole snapback culture.
It's so disheartening that we can have more focus on somebody's physical appearance versus them having the ability to create life when so many people will never be able to create life just because of, you know, other things going on. We need, again, that's society again, putting the pressure on you to kind of suck you back into getting into your pocket with things that are unrealistic. We're human. Our bodies change. That's what they do. That's a part of life. We need to embrace it at different stages, whether we're, you know, 2 months pregnant, we just gave birth, we're 6 months, two years postpartum. Your body is meant to change. It's evolution. So we need to stop worrying so much about the way a person looks and maybe focus more on their mind, their psychological effects. Because a lot of people suffer from depression like I did postpartum. And I was, you know, I was concerned about the weight because I was letting, you know, negative feedback from others get into my ear. But that was hindering me from even giving a lot of attention to my child. So focused on snapping back and getting snatched and looking good after I just carried a child for 9 months and I'm trying to be a good new mother, but I'm so worried about the vanity metrics that do not matter. I'm dealing with a newborn baby. I'm dealing with, you know, postpartum depression, other things I got to worry about, you know, protecting and providing for my child, and keeping a roof over our heads and so many other things. But people are constantly giving this message that you have to look a certain way to do that. And I just think it's so damaging to a person mentally.
Right. I think that goes back to my point about socioeconomic status and the whole, because I feel that people in their minds, they have a idea that people who are heavy overweight and such have, or what they call overweight, they're lazy, they're incapable of being wealthy, especially when you're talking about women. Mm-hmm. They're incapable of being seen as a sex symbol or beautiful or any of those things.
Right.
And, you know, we really have to unpack that and how we see that in ourselves, how we allow our children to see it, because it starts mm-hmm. early, even watching these Disney movies. I don't even think there's ever been a heavyset princess or anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and so these images, it may not be, I don't even want to say that it's not intentional, but it may not be something that they're saying, oh, this is what is happening or this is what is being done. But the truth of the matter is when you don't see certain things, you just assume that that's an aside in society. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? As opposed right. to reality is that the studies tell us that the average woman in America, and I'm pretty sure in other places in the world, is a size 14, 16 or 18, 20, something like that. And mm-hmm. weight, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
weighs is like 180 pounds or something like that. So right. that's the average size of woman. And that's not what would be what we would see on television or,
right.
you know, typically. Now we're seeing more of that.
Right.
But as you said, this skewed perception, this mental perception that we have of what something looks like and giving a value to, you know, not only the food, but also to what someone who may eat a certain type of food may look like, et cetera, et cetera. You know, mm-hmm. I've had many a conversations growing up where I was always the one that was, you know, exercising and not for nothing else, but for my mental mm-hmm. health. I would say it yeah. all the time. Like, people used to say, oh, you're trying to lose weight. No, I'm doing it for my mental health. If I don't exercise, I might break your neck. Okay. Me and you going to be fighting, especially with you saying crazy stuff. So I totally agree with everything that you're saying and hear it, and I'm so glad that it worked for you and that you're spreading this message of food freedom so that people can get back to the core of what it all reality of all of it is, which is that you have to love yourself, you know.
Exactly. And it's more than skin deep. We're more than just our outer appearance. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. We're such magical people and beings. And we just got to stopping at the surface level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you can't make significant changes in your life until you love yourself.
Exactly. How can you love anything unless you love yourself? Who's going to love you or value you more than you?
Right.
And if you don't, that means you have to work on that. Forget the scale. Forget the food for right now. Figure out how to get back in touch with you.
You have to appreciate your journey.
Mm-hmm.
You have to appreciate your journey in order to really make whatever change you want to make. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to learn to laugh at it, honestly. I had to learn to laugh at it all. Like, oh gosh, I can't believe this consumed me for so many years. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, mm-hmm. wait a minute. Did this really consume me for all of my life? This is ridiculous. Like, I really had to laugh at it.
Right. I think there was a saying, I don't know it word for word, but something like the weight you need to lose isn't on the scale, but the weight of other people's opinions. Life Ooh. Is so much better when you just silence the opinions of others, good or bad. All that matters is what you think of you.
Yes. And the funniest thing is that I had a friend that lost a lot of weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're from the Caribbean.
Okay.
So she was telling us that, you know, she went to go visit, and there's a huge hill. You know, when you're from the countryside of Jamaica, Jamaica's hilly, period, mm-hmm. but the countryside is real hilly, okay? So she was saying how she was there, let's say, I'm just giving an arbitrary year, 2000.
Okay.
2002, she went back, she had lost like 100 pounds. And she was like, when she went the first time, they was all calling her fluffy and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. That's a word that's used in the Caribbean to talk mm-hmm. about a heavier woman, fluffy.
Right.
And then the next time she went back, everybody was like, oh, trying to like, oh, are you sick? You know, and I'm saying this to say that it doesn't even matter what you do. If you're heavy, if you're skinny, people are going to have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of anything that's going on with you, but because of their own perceptions, and they're caught in those perceptions and their own right. interpretation. So that what you just said yeah. is, you know, that's an illustration of how that rings true, you know?
Right. That's why you have to live for you, but not anyone else. You can be naturally exactly what society tells you is the quote unquote perfect body. People will say you had surgery, or that's not natural, or you need to gain some weight, or your head is too big. It's their insecurities pouring out onto you, which is why it doesn't matter.
Right. Absolutely. It's always going to be something. So as we're kind of coming to a close, I really want you to give us some last ideas about food freedom, what it is. This is my first time talking to you, or in watching you was my first time hearing of food freedom. I love the terminology. What are some of the central tenets of that, and what can a client expect when working with you? You know, get some more information about that, if you would, and talk about your different business offerings.
So I will just say, ultimately, what I do is working with clients in a one-on-one program, and we do a lot of mindset work. We don't put the focus on your physical appearance. We definitely don't put a focus on weight. Even if that's what you want, that can be worked on later down the line. But as we discussed, it starts with your mind. If your mind is not in the right place, there's no way for you to make a true transformation that you're really desiring in your life and to have it sustain long term. Because we can all make changes, but are you going to maintain those changes for the rest of your life? This is a journey, not a short-term destination. So we just start by really figuring out, what is it that you need? What do you want? Identifying your top struggles. We can't erase all of the damage that's been done over your life in a short amount of time. But to make true progress, we pick one or two things to work on, whether it be, you know, low energy, confidence, or whatever it is that's important to you. So we have to lay a solid foundation first before we can build upon any true sustainable habits. So after we identify, you know, what is your why? What are you trying to accomplish in this time that we're working together, which is usually about, you know, 3 months or so. Then we work to identify, you know, what type of, since the focus is food freedom, what type of eater are you? Or, you know, do you struggle with emotional eating? Do you just eat just because? Are you, you know, still stuck in a diet mentality where you feel like you're good or bad for eating one way versus another? Once we tackle that, then we work on we then work on helping you to get in tune with your body, to know the different types of hunger, whether it's physical hunger versus emotional hunger, helping you to realize what your triggers are. You know, it could be stress, it could be now, like during the pandemic, causing you to want to eat more when you're not truly hungry. How to identify, you know, when cravings come, and if it's something you should actually honor, because every time you crave something, it's not an automatic for, oh, I eat this. No, you learn to sit back, get in tune with your body. How will this make me feel once I eat it? Does this usually make me feel energized and come alive, or does it make me feel sick and tired and not want to do anything? If it's something that will provide you with energy, then you honor that craving. After you're eating it for a little bit, you work on limiting distractions while eating, because a lot of the times, a lot of our problems is not that we don't know how to eat. We're so distracted while we're eating on technology, on the phones, on the computer, watching TV, that we don't even know when the craving is gone. So we just keep eating, and then we get uncomfortably full and feel sick, and that failure feeling because we've done too much when we didn't even need all of that. Food freedom is giving you permission to enjoy all foods, whether it's for pleasure or specifically for fuel, but knowing that there's no right or wrong way. It's just making sure it's what will work for you and your body. And again, taking away the moral value of food. Food is just food. You're not greater than or less than for eating one way versus another. Eating a kale salad every day for the rest of your life is not going to make you a super amazing warrior, and eating cookies and, you know, a balance of things is not going to make you the worst person in America.
Right.
It's making you human. It's making you human. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, bring back that human quality to living, not feeling like you're in jail or you can't just be you.
Yeah. I think that you just brought up something that I remember I was talking to somebody at a birthday party, and you know how it goes when you're at certain places, the first thing when the cake come out, it's like, oh, I can't eat the cake type thing, right? And this one lady there, she had me cracking up. She said, I'm eating the cake and I'm eating the cupcakes and everything, and I'm going to talk to my food and I'm going to be happy eating it. I was cracking up. Do you hear me? She was like, listen, I've already lost a lot of weight, and I do not stop being ashamed about wanting to and eating certain things. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, and I don't follow any rules. The only thing she followed was intermittent fasting. She definitely did that. She was like, anything else, I don't follow the rule. If I want it, I'm gonna eat it. Period. Mm-hmm. She said, I've lost a lot of weight, and it just made me like so happy, you know, first of all, that she had that conversation in the midst of women, because it's so important for us to trust and love ourselves and stop putting all these arbitrary, oftentimes restrictions over our lives. Period. You know, and so that just made me think about shame and food, you know, and that causes people oftentimes to do things like binge eat, which is something that I've had to heal myself from as well, you know.
And I just think it's important that people know it's just more than food. It's just about actually enjoying taking care of yourself.
Yes, you know,
I'm
all about the self-care.
Mm-hmm. Yes, just being happy. We have one life to live. Might as well make the most of it. Take care of yourself, yes. I'm not saying just run wild and do whatever and ignore your health, but health, being healthy can be fun. Mm-hmm. It can be energizing. You can actually, yes, I can't wait to work out today. I can't wait to eat this nutritious food. I love the way it makes me feel. Just improving the quality of my overall life and my mindset, and just making me a better person. People want to be around me more because I'm not so stressed out from only eating the same thing every day and feeling miserable. I'm actually a delight in the world.
Oh my gosh, that same meal be driving you nuts. You feel like, I can't eat this again.
And baked chicken and brown rice was a staple in many diets, and every day, day in and day out, that got really old quick.
Yeah, I've been there, done that. so I know it so well. I absolutely love this conversation, and I love the energy that you bring to it and the fun that you bring to it. I love your Instagram page and you showing the fun dances, and yes, exercise absolutely should be fun. Okay.
Yes, yes.
And it works best when it is fun and it's intuitive, you know. Wow. Your body just feels better. Like this morning I woke up and decided that I was just going to do yoga because my body needed to be stretched out, and I'm okay with that. You know, whereas in the past I would have been like, yoga is not going to burn enough calorie, you know, all these other weird thoughts. But so I love that you do that. So if you don't, you can follow Kiara on Instagram at Curves and Cupcakes. So let's tell people how they can get in touch with you and get the coaching. And I see you have another program that you're starting, which is a monthly program. So yeah, tell the people about all of that.
Yes, I've been dibbing and dabbing in different things, but I'm deciding to start a new monthly membership called Healthy Curve Society. It will basically be about promoting health in women of different body types, showing that you don't have to look one way versus another to be happy and healthy and comfortable in the skin that you're in. The details have not really been released yet, because I'm still working on it, taking my time with this to make sure it's not just another thing that's out there. It's really impactful, because my mission is to be impactful in a positive way in a lot of people's lives. So that will be coming next month, and more details will be released on Instagram at Curves and Cupcakes. And as far as coaching, I can be reached on Curves and Cupcakes by clicking the link in my bio and going from there as far as any one-on-one help.
Excellent. Well, I pray that you get a floodgate of women come through to you to heal their relationship with themselves and caring for themselves, and mm-hmm. men too. Let me not cut out the men, because men deal with the same thing. You know, they got the six pack or whatever the case may be. They may feel that they're not, you know, but it's like, you know, everybody has their own body type, and it's all lovely. Somebody loves you for it. Many people will love you for it. Absolutely. So I really appreciate your energy. I appreciate the work that you do that is impacting minds, because I'm all about impacting the mind and shifting the way we think about things. So thank you so much for your work, and thank you for joining us on the Mommy Matters podcast. Please reach out to Kiara if you need her, and we will see you on the next episode. Peace and love. Did you like that? I know it was as informative for you as it was for me. Look, this is a process for all of us. And to keep this process going, I would love to invite you to donate to our podcast. We want to continue to give you high-level content, beautiful content that enlightens and inspires and broadens your vision to elevate you and evolve. So please feel free to go to the podcast page at anchor.fm/mommymatters. We would love to hear your questions and comments as well, so that we can discuss them in future podcasts. And you can email that to momevolve@gmail.com. You can also visit the website and send your comments there, www.mommyevolve.com. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Peace and love.